big centre bounce and a ruckman crash on in.
When you get smashed in centre bounce, it just puts you on the back foot.
Crawley, Jordy McKenzie, all on the wing. McDonald runs with the football. Tyson takes it. Handball the body.
They're moving the ball as well as any. When you get time and space and their willingness to really go fast.
They are so pure, so beautiful to watch with the footy.
On Halftime, Pure Footy.
Must be Thursday, Pure Footy. David King, the world's greatest footy analyst, joins us for berriesonline.com.au and, of course, our good friends at 1300 4Tradie.
Yeah.
Rebuilding the North one pergola at a time. Hello, Kingy.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Okay, very well.
Great to see you in orange. You're on board the theme of the day, and we'll get to that in a moment.
What's the theme of the day?
I don't want to blow it early because the reluctant hero really enjoys talking about these up-and-coming young sides.
He does when he gets his note out of the Champion Data AFL Prospectus 2015 Gold Embossed Edition. In fact, he's in it so often, the Gold Embossed Edition, he comes out with a gold nose sometimes.
I've
he goes that deep into it. Hello, Glenn Muff.
Centrefold next year. It's Luffy's lift out.
It's going to be orange next year.
Orange?
Well, it's going to be orange because you've got orange on. KB's got orange. You're all on the bandwagon.
What are we on about? What are you two on about?
No, you're on. You're on the bandwagon.
What are you on about?
You're on the GWS bandwagon, rightly so.
Can we get back to the centrefold for a sec?
No, don't. It's not good.
If only we had a camera.
Sit up properly, please.
Sit up, Glenn.
I think when you look at the ladder, we touched on this last night, but having a closer look at the AFL ladder at the moment, Daniel.
Yes.
We have Fremantle Miles out in front, 8-0.
Now,
there isn't a man in the world who doesn't think they'll finish top of the ladder.
Yep.
If not top, it'll be second. But you'd assume at this stage, with their percentage being 155 and 8 straight, that they would go on and finish top.
Yep.
The discussion is the next three positions, second, third and fourth. So the top four, to win the flag, Luffy, you have to finish top four. That's been shown over the last few years since this new system came in. Now, the awkward part of this year, and this is the first year of the seeded draws, if you like, not the fixture, the draw, where you play in the overlap game, so the five games at the end of the year, you play three teams in your section. So if you're the top six teams, middle six teams, or bottom six teams of last year's final positioning, you play three in the same tier, one in the other two tiers. So if you finish top, if you finish in the top six, you'll play three top six sides twice, one in the middle six and one in the bottom six. If you finish down the bottom, this is where it gets interesting. The West Coast and GWS will get to play teams that are in the bottom portion of the ladder.
Right.
Now, it brings me to GWS. And I want to talk about them. I want to talk about Port Adelaide. Because on this system, Port could easily miss the finals. And we want to touch on that in a moment. But GWS are the talking point for me. How many games to finish? How many wins to finish top four, Daniel?
Is it 15 or 16, is it?
Let's say it's 15. The GWS are already 6-2. They've got to win 9 more games of the last 14.
Yep.
These are the double-up games. They play St Kilda, Melbourne, Carlton and Gold Coast as four of their five.
Right.
They are winning all four of them.
Yes.
That gives them 10 wins already. If you have a look at their... basically, if they go 50-50 for the other 10 games, they can't not finish top four.
Mm.
That'll give them close to the 15 wins that they need. Now, bear in mind that they could actually win 6 of those 10 or 7 of those 10 and finish top 2.
Possible.
It's not really about
possible.
How good... Yeah, possible.
Possible.
Because they've got home games to Brisbane, North Melbourne and Essendon on top of those games we just mentioned. So if they can just do the job at home and win the double-up games you'd expect, then in my eyes, there's no way they can miss top 4, which gives them a huge chance at this year's flag. And I know it's ahead of time, and I know everyone will say that's ridiculous, but it just changes the whole dynamic of the finals.
Well, it does if that's what happens. Absolutely. Mike, my question to you, as soon as you started talking about this, King, I was thinking, righto, one of the issues with GWS and to a lesser extent Gold Coast of recent years is we've got to the round 14 or so, round 15, and we've seen a real decline in their ability to finish off the season. Do you think that will be a factor, or do you think it's getting to the point now because of the players they've introduced that have been experienced campaigners from outside of the initial squad of the Giants, that they've got to a point now where they'll be able to see out the season at the level they've currently got it?
No, it's a fair point you make, but I think that they've got some mature bodies in there now. Patful and Griffin come in, and they just become more experienced, not by bringing 8 or 10 experienced players in, but just enough to shoulder the load. They've got a lot of talent still not playing in that team that could come in and spin the magnets late in the season or even mid-year to give them a chop out to make sure these young kids get through the end of the year. But every year, and you know this, every year in football, another preseason, another training year.
Yes.
It changes your physical ability to get through a year greatly. And I think that when you're 18, you can't do it. When you're 19, maybe you can. When you're 20, you start to build. 21, 22, you can really nail the whole season through. And you learn about your body.
Yep.
You learn what you can and can't do in a training sense. And the club learn about you as well and monitor your load. So I've got full confidence that they will get through the year. And I look at how they're playing. There isn't a hole or there isn't a flaw in their makeup.
No.
And I'm super excited about them. And if they can do what we expect them to do in the home and away, look out this year. I actually nearly think, and people are going to say this is stupid, but I think this is the year where they can go all the way because things are falling for them. Fremantle, the logical choice. Everyone will tip Fremantle because they've been there before and they're the experienced team. But gee whiz, they're exciting, this mob.
Is this sort of Geelong can't win it style, GWS can win it type situation? Or
Geelong can't win it was an error, Daniel, in 2011, and we'll probably get over that at some stage.
No, we won't. Our supporters won't. The SMS is lighting up.
Is it? Well, they can't win it this year.
The Giants are.
But this is sometimes, we looked at Port last year, and Port Adelaide last year were a huge chance to win it just because everything fell their way.
Yep, that's true.
And you've got one chance. When things fall like this, you've got to take it. And I actually think GWS could do that.
Well, they were playing, of course, Adelaide last week, and the Crows, who were fairly hyped in the pre-season as well, and still travelling okay just at the minute with 5-3. They felt the wrath of the Giants. And Phil Walsh, the coach of the Crows, was talking after game in the presser.
Surprisingly, we got back within 5 points there for a period. I think Sam Jacobs missed a kick into the middle of the ground, which would have given us a great option maybe to go in front, which would have been amazing considering how the game was being played. But yeah, you've got to take your chances. We weren't able to do that, although our efficiency wasn't too bad at times today, even better than last week in some quarters.
But it's the timing of some of those mistakes.
Exactly that. And against this team, when you miss that target, you then all have to run again. And that's what happened to us too much today.
When you missed that target, Luffy.
Yeah, and a lot of people would have ignored that comment. I thought that was really significant, Kingy, because they're deadly when you turn it over. I mean, from back half, they'll punish you the second best in the comp. And overall,
turnovers.
From turnovers, yep. And overall, the third best in the comp. And then when GWS win a clearance, they're number one at turning that into a score. That's lethal stuff. That's ball movement at its very best. They've got the contest right. They've got their clearances right. They're defending a lot better. But if the game's not going their way and they can absorb that pressure, we know they can transition. Now, everyone's poo-pooing the West Coast draw and it's not real.
West Coast
absolutely slaughtered this mob. And GWS could not move the footy against them. Now, that was probably a bad day for GWS. What I think the story out of this is, 12 months ago, they lost to West Coast and Richmond in consecutive weeks by 100 points. And everyone's jumping off them. You just got to settle. And it's the same with Gold Coast at the moment. I've looked at the Gold Coast. They were 6-2 this time last year, the Gold Coast.
They were.
So I've compared their numbers.
You should have told me that before the show.
From purely a numbers point of view, I've compared their first 8 rounds to GWS's.
Yep.
GWS looks a lot more sustainable than the Gold Coast numbers at this time last year. So,
which areas sort of give you that indication?
Oh, just some of the dominance
contested
in the
footy.
Area.
Contested footy's one. They're +4 a week, which is top 8 in the comp. But their handball game is the one that is breaking lines. I think they're the number one team for handball in the competition, where they got 183 a week, which allows them to use all their assets. They've got these kids that are elite talent. And that they are elite by foot. And that, I think that's the difference between the team up north. This mob seem to be utilising their assets more than what the Gold Coast ever did.
Yep.
I think when Ablett fell out of that team through injury, they really struggled to learn who they are as a team and who they are as players. And I think GWS have really got a good handle on what makes them tick. And that breakneck speed on counterpunch, the overlap run, there isn't a team that can go with them.
No.
You can't have a loose man against them because they'll run through you. You've got to meet them at the contest. They're strong there. I think this is a really powerful machine.
And they handball out of stoppage more than any other team in the competition.
Love that.
It was Port Adelaide last year.
Yep.
So what that does, their clearances, they get more yardage out of their clearances more than any other team in the competition. They've had the least turnovers from their clearances, so that immediate turnover.
So is that because they're not just banging it out, Kingy? Is that because they're able to run and get a guy eventually into space, two or three handballs on there into space?
But what it does, though, Luffy, it changes what the opposition can do to win it back. They force you to, if you have a loose man against them at the stoppage, so you drop an extra plus one, everyone likes to call it now, behind the ball 30 metres, and they come out by hand, they render your setup useless.
Yep.
They render that man just caught in no... He's caught in no man's land. He has to come forward to defend.
Yep.
Therefore, you get one-on-ones in behind. Hawthorn do it a different way. They kick through you and they make you defend one-on-one and they end up getting good exposure in their forward 50 at the end of the chain. This is the same. They come out by hand. You have to come and meet them or you have to have your extras at the stoppage. And then all of a sudden, you're playing the GWS game.
It's very Geelong of 2007 for me.
Okay.
Yep.
Good.
A lot
good
of handball. Visual. Probably not as corridor biased like the Cats. That might be something to do with the ground, but it's very close to the Cats. The Cats changed that in probably 06 they tried it. They probably weren't fit enough to execute properly. 07 it all clicked. And they were very much a team in the early years of their development, Geelong. They were very much a team. Get the ball and just bang it on the boot and a turnover. They became a team where they just handballed out of stoppage to set up that good kicking.
They got two big games, GWS.
Yep.
Round 11, they play Collingwood, the MCG, and round 14, they play Richmond, the MCG. I want to see them at the G. I think that's the one thing we don't know about the interstate sides. They don't get much exposure to the MCG because when they come here, they draw lower crowds.
Yep.
They're pigeonholed at Etihad. But I want to see them at the MCG. I want to see their speed on the open spaces of the G and see
well,
if they can do it.
If they're going to achieve anything in September, that's where they have to do it in that last one anyway, or October this year. 22 past 12 this hour for the New Mexican Chicken Sub from Subway. This is Pure Footy. Kingy reckons GWS are legit. Luffy's with him. I'm wearing orange. Right. We're all on board. It's a bit of feedback from Ross Watch here on halftime.
Yeah.
I had a bit of a listen to Ross's presser.
Oh, yes.
After the week.
We had listened to that as well.
Just going to give you a bit of a snapshot of Ross's work. It's a strong performance. We're hungry. We're working hard. Improved their 4-50 stoppages, bits and pieces. North never gave up. They fought on. Probably would have taken more opportunities in front of goal. We overused it at times, but wanted to make them defend. Thought we did that. Got to acknowledge they're a little bit diluted in the midfield. Everyone's facing challenges, so we temper that with common sense. It's an opportunity for us to take it, and then we took it. We worked hard off the 6-day break. Move on pretty quick. Come out unscathed. Well, we'll prepare well. Enjoy tonight. Please bank 4 points. It's all a blur, really. Ding. Can't really tell you who we played last week. The treadmill, the world that keeps spinning. We what did we do? We spun around a few players, exposed a few last week. Strong performance. When you're fit and available, you want to bank 4 points. We've had enough to do that. So it's a long, hard year. It's a marathon, but anything can happen from here.
I just have vision of Ross going to the bank every Monday morning with 4 points.
What about the last minute of it?
Have we got that? One thing we shouldn't do as broadcasters.
Hilarious.
We're not journalists. We're broadcasters, us gentlemen. But one thing we shouldn't do as broadcasters / journalists on this occasion is make assumptions.
Yeah.
Ross, did you watch the Adelaide GWS game before the Sydney Hawthorn game?
Pardon?
Will you watch the replay of the Adelaide game today before you watch the Sydney Hawthorn game?
I don't understand the question.
Sydney.
You're making an assumption on watching the Sydney Hawthorn game?
I assume you would.
No, I probably won't get to that game. I haven't got time. All my energy's going to Adelaide this week, yeah. I haven't got time to. With respect to watch Sydney Hawthorn. That just sits there until we need it. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
I can just drop it onto the Apple Mac and watch it when I need it. I don't need it at the minute.
He loves the Apple Mac.
Too. I don't even reckon he's got an Apple Mac.
You know what his best was?
He's no longer with us, that journalist.
In 2010, the grand final week, he talked about, how you treat in the week, and he goes, it's just another game. It's round 26.
Round 26.
Round 26 on the sports card, and, we just move along.
Sports card.
It's just great. It's so good.
God love Ross. We love Ross here on Pure Footy.
I'd hate to be a journalist in Perth.
That's tough. I wouldn't turn up.
You upset him once, and he'd ban you for life.
We just drop it on the Apple Mac when I need it.
Yeah, when it... You don't make assumptions, champion.
Their opponents in their 2013 grand final was the Hawks, Luffy. Mm. And they're sitting, 4-4 at the moment.
Yep.
And there's some concerns from outside footy circles about where the Hawks are at. Alistair Clarkson was talking about one component of their game on the weekend.
I think we've all had a junior football coach that told us over the journey, bad kicking's bad football, and we kicked 9 goals, 15. You know, like, even in the first quarter, you know, it looks like Swans have got tremendous ascendancy, but it's just simply because of goal-kicking conversion. You know, by 5 minutes into the second quarter, it's 1 goal, 6 to 6 goals, 1. They take their chances, we didn't take ours. So, and then we had some chances to convert some opportunities late in the game that we would normally ice, and we didn't take them. So we lick our wounds and move on.
We get it. Look at our wounds.
Yeah, we get excited over wins and losses, I reckon, but sometimes you just got to dig down a bit deeper and have a look at the game, how it was played. And he was spot on with the first quarter. It just comes down to goal kicking some of the times. And three of their four losses, against Essendon, they had 3 more shots. Against Port, they had 2 more shots and 36 more inside 50s. We know how Port's gone since then. Mm. And 6 more shots against Sydney. And I keep hearing about Sydney were great. They stood up to it, and they did all that. But I'm not worried about the Hawks at all this season, at all. I know it's 4 losses, but 3 of those have been very good. All 4 have been close losses.
Under 10 points.
Yeah. I haven't got an issue with them. What I have noticed with them, Kingy, though, remember last year we were talking about how with such an open forward line, they get a lot of one-on-ones and they back their talent in the side 50 and they were very efficient that way.
Yeah.
They're more a pressing team this year. Like, their time in forward half has gone through the roof. So that always affects your ability to convert once inside 50 because there's more
people in there. Yeah.
Now, he was talking about set shots last week, and in previous years they would have nailed them. They're 11th for accuracy this year. They were first last year and fourth the year before. So I don't think there's too big a concerns at the Hawks.
Accuracy and the amount of players you play per year are still the two biggest guides in the comp.
We set shot accuracy.
Accuracy and health. And every year, they're the two key indicators to see whether you make the grand final or top four or whether you win the flag. Every year, those two stack up well. And they're not solely responsible for success because, obviously, every team's looking for those two things. And there's a lot of luck involved in winning flags. And those two factors, Luffy, for me, just jump off the page every year.
On the flip side, their opposition are going at 64% in front of goal, which is number one in the comp against. Yeah.
Can you just give me...
So that will even out. Not concerned about the Hawks.
Just a question with that notice, Luffy. Set shot accuracy. Who are the best clubs for set shot accuracy? We've got that data available.
West Coast.
He's got everything.
West Coast at 65.5. Fremantle at 64.1. Geelong 63.8. Adelaide at 61.1.
Okay, so there's only one of those teams outside the top six at the moment. That's the Cats, who are in 10th position. You were talking about players played.
I've got that here. Let me just get him.
Now, GWS are last. Imagine when they get that right.
Oh, they set shot accuracy. Wow.
No, sorry, you were saying set shot. I'm just accuracy.
Oh, accuracy full stop.
General.
Right, okay.
Well, can you please clarify
that? We'll clarify that.
I'll just go to the Apple Mac.
Just drop it down.
Chuck her on the Apple Mac. Players used. At the moment, we've got Sydney leading the way with only 25 used. Fremantle with 26.
Right,
Adelaide Crows 28.
Okay, things are good for the Crows.
Yeah, and then there's a whole host between 29 and 31. There's probably 10 teams, but there's a couple of teams. Richmond have used 35 players, so they've had to play a lot of fresh players last week. Was it against Collingwood? Was it?
Who
they played 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, yeah.
They played three youngsters, absolute youngsters, and found a way to win. It was against the Pies when they kicked the first 4 or 5.
Yep.
So they've been a bit of a victim of circumstance, and the Hawks have already played 31. So it's creeping up there. A couple of suspensions don't help that.
Not helpful.
So it's maybe not pure health. There's some suspension in there as well.
What we might do is take a break. So I wouldn't mind just focusing on the Tigers just for a little bit after the break. They've turned their season around the last couple of weeks, some would say. You guys, the WGFA and the Reluctant Hero, world's greatest footy analyst, by the way, WGFA, you're here with us to break that down for our Tiger fans. WGFA and Reluctant Hero, they're with us on Pure Footy. 22-1 on halftime this hour for the new Mexican chicken sub from Subway. Pure footy for berriesonline.com.au. Champion Data's AFL Prospectus 2015 Gold Embossed. And 1300 Ford Trady rebuilding the North one per goal at a time. David King, world's greatest footy analyst. Glenn Laugh, Reluctant Hero.
Happy to go to the West too. I've just got a text. Rebuilding the North. Once that's done, prepare to move to the West.
It's a large area, the North. He knows that, doesn't he?
I know. I did mention that. can we have a look at the Tigers?
Let's have a look at the Tigers. You guys need to help our listeners out. There's an SMS here. What has Richmond done differently in the last 2 weeks, boys? Help a brother out, hashtag.
Well, not a lot was broken, Luffy, was it? Didn't we say this a few weeks back?
You said last week they were a lock to beat to Port.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, that's a very good. I'm glad you brought that up.
Anyway, that's fine. But
we won't bring up Brisbane beating Essendon.
Told you last week that you'd have to apologise to your listeners for making such outlandish comments.
Well, they got the Tigers right, so I'm prepared to back him.
Sorry. I thought it was the gutsiest win I've seen Richmond pull off for a long, long time. Because that third quarter, they were under the pump. Port actually got a bit of their game back last week. But, I mean, the scoreboard doesn't suggest that. But each week we talk about the scoreboard can skew things a little bit. But the Tigers in that third quarter absorbed the pressure. And I heard Brendan Lay talking to Shebex yesterday.
Yesterday.
Talking about how when momentum is against you, you need to absorb. And they did that at one stage. I think it was 14-1, the inside 50s for the third quarter.
Yep.
Ended up 14-5. They only conceded 1-4 on the scoreboard. Didn't score themselves. They hang in the game. And from there, I was really confident they'd win in that last quarter because you can't keep up that momentum the whole time, not cash in and come from behind. So it was a really mature performance. The last 2 weeks, they've defended well in their back 50. It hasn't been played in their half as much, so it's opened up the forward line a bit more, and they've really converted once inside 50 compared to those first 6 weeks. In the first 6 weeks, they'd won the inside 50 count on, I think, every match, but they'd only pulled off 2 wins. So, it's more the bookends, I think, that's improved for me.
I thought it was the smartest game they'd played for some time. They actually were all on the same page. They knew what the system was to beat Port. It looked like they'd had some really productive meetings through the week because everyone was on the same page. They took the speed out of the game. They had numbers around the stoppages. They covered any quick exit from stoppage. They covered the half forwards pushing right up and guarding corridor use. They played wide. They took the ball wide. They were happy to concede stoppage, whether it's boundary throw-in or a ball up. They didn't try and play at speed that has hurt them in the past out of the back half. And what that did, it made the game really slow. It made Port, if they were looking to put speed into the game, they had to do it switching the ball across half back, and they covered that other side of the ground immediately.
So let's break this down a bit, Kingy.
Yeah.
Are we saying here that one of the great strengths of Port Adelaide's last year was their speed of ball and their ability to transition really quickly?
Gone.
What teams have worked out from an opposition point of view is that the last thing we want them to do is do that. So we've got to find a way to shut them down. So stoppages, repeat stoppages, close down the corridor for the switch release, which only gives them back to go if they want to change direction behind the footy. So teams are doing that now to stop Port Adelaide's run.
They're playing Port in a slow, methodical, territory-based way. Get the ball 40 metres down the park, that's a win. Get a stoppage, whatever. Just don't allow them to come forward or come forward of stoppage or come out the other side, onto the fat side of the ground, if you like, at speed and get through you. And Brisbane showed that we've got Richmond who've done that as well, and I'll be staggered if Melbourne don't do it. This actually suits Melbourne this week. They can play this way. We've seen them play slow out of the back half for 18 months.
It hasn't been applauded, but it might be this week.
Well, this is the week to do it. This is the week to be really careful out of stoppages, which Melbourne are. Port are in real trouble, and they need to maybe look at the way that they're using the ball now. Maybe they need to inject some more handball into the game, not do it all by foot. I know it's fast by foot and it's furious, which is what they want, but it's not working. So they need to have a look at how they come out of stoppages. I just feel over there at the moment that they've got so much feedback coming at them at the minute.
Failure's
feedback, and they're getting plenty of feedback. They're getting so much of it coming at them that they're not sure where to start. And I watched them last week, and although they were better, Luffy, around the clearances, and they were a very good contested ball side last weekend, it didn't go on the scoreboard. The worm has turned slightly in that way, but they've got to accept that they need to make some changes. This just won't correct itself this year if they don't.
I think they'll win this week. I'm pretty confident they'll win this week. I think it was a positive loss, if that makes sense. They had the game played in their half a lot more, and that's been the problem. They've been on the back foot. And what that does, when you're playing it in the opposition's back half, the guys like Boak and Gray and Hartlett, all those guys that were getting the footy last year forward of centre, they're now back of centre. And you just run out of
that's really cuff. Good. That's a really good visual for our listeners to be able to sit and watch Port Adelaide games now, particularly this one from Melbourne this week. watch that game and see how they're exiting stoppages, particularly from the back half of the ground, and what Melbourne are doing to try and stop them. And I think that's really good for our
if it's a fast game,
visual.
If it's a fast game, Port are on. Port will win. If it's a slow game, the D's are right in it. How many wins to play finals this year?
It's usually 12-ish, isn't it?
Usually 12 or 13. If it's 13, Port have got to win 10 of their last 14 games.
That's going to be hard.
And that's including that they double up against Sydney, they double up against Fremantle, and they double up against Adelaide. And they double up also against the Hawks.
Mm.
So it's incredibly difficult, their draw. In the home games are going to probably be the deciding factor. They play the Doggies. I think then they play Geelong and Collingwood at home. They're the two games for me that they're just must wins now. So Adelaide Oval, if Geelong go over there and beat them, I don't think they'll play finals.
Yep.
If Collingwood go over there and beat them, I think that'll be it. They've got some big games to come, Port. Who knows what's going to happen this year.
Well, it's good feedback and great visual for our listeners out there on Pure Footy to understand and have a look at this week, watching the Melbourne-Port Adelaide game. Court DeOne, we'll get to a break. I want to talk Mark Blitzars after this, and also the Kangaroos. Laughing, going to throw some things at you about the Kangaroos, see how they're tracking in 2015. Pure Footy with the reluctant hero, Glenn Love, the world's greatest footy analyst, David King, until 1 o'clock. Boys, I want to talk about Mark Blitzars. Are there any indicators statistically as to why this young man's just blossomed in 2015?
It's amazing what we're seeing, Kingy. This guy isn't playing ruck. He's playing as a midfielder in the centre square.
Where is he playing?
Well, as of round three, he's been a midfielder. Right. And he's a massive midfielder at that. He goes against all recruiting philosophy. And everyone's going to be looking for the next Mark Blitzars. And he might be a 1 in 100 player, I reckon, this guy. He looks certain to reach the elite category of the competition in a year or two.
Now, the question was always...
Close. Can I give you a stat?
The elite category.
Yep. The centre bounces. When he's in attendance, the Cats have won. This is since round three, when he's been a midfielder only. 70 centre clearances, and they've lost 45. That's plus 25. And when he's not in the square, they're 13-29. It's the best in and out of the square comparison in the competition. Next, Scott Thompson, Jack Crisp, Zeebel, and Dane Burns.
Jack Crisp.
Yeah, it's
good
numbers. Been really good. But Blitzars has been amazing.
There was always a question, Kingy, I'll throw this to you, about this gentleman coming into the game as an athlete as opposed to purely a footballer, and his ability to play the game on smarts. If you're going into the midfield and you're dealing with centre bounce stoppages and congestion, and you're able to get involved and influence a contest, it suggests he's a really unique beast in the mind as well as the body.
Look, the bigger midfielder everyone's looking for at the moment, just because, particularly at centre bounces, Luffy, I reckon it's one thing we should really drill into next week. We might have a good look at centre bounces because it's the only time that you get 4v4. And with the ruckman in there, it's basically 3-on-3 at ground level. And the advantage you get from territory from there, from that starting point, most teams, you win a centre bounce, you're going inside 50 more often than not.
Yep.
It's a 50-metre head start in terms of the territory battle. And that allows you to press. It allows a lot of other things that flow on from there. This bigger midfielder, to see him play against Pendlebury, 3 weeks ago, and match it with him, be able to go third man up when he chose to. So leave Pendlebury, top 4 or 5 in the comp, Pendlebury, to go and just tap the ball to his teammate. So Pendlebury didn't know whether he was going for the clearance, the first possession, or negating the third man up. So he took one of the best players in the comp off his game. And then what he does at ground level is fantastic. He got caught down back three or four times last week and intercept marked the
ball.
He
did, yes.
He got caught in a genuine one-on-one in the goal square and just plucked it like he was Nate Fife. And I hadn't really taken a lot of time into Blitzars before that, and I thought, wow, that's something that they have been talking about for some while with him, that he can play anywhere, wherever the game needs him to play. And I think that you're right, he's something we haven't seen before. And is it true that his rests maybe are not as much as the next?
Yeah,
or
I
not?
Checked that out. It wasn't. There was nothing really in that. There is something in the third man, though. He's had 59 third man hit-outs. And the next most is Dyson Heppel and Mundy at 18. So it's clearly a tactic. The other thing I like about it, Kingy, and we do see a lot of these athletes come in, and this guy's going to take time and all that stuff, and we see him in the VFL, and you don't hear about him. I'm like, St Kilda, Spencer White, Ace Cordy. You wonder if they're alive at times. Blitzars has played 22 games, 23 games, and played 8 games this year. Chris Scott's just played him. He's just played him and played him. And now he's into his third year, and he's just having a ripper season.
That's what the rookie list is all about, isn't it? Is wild card selection. If they hit, it's boom. If they miss, it's bust. There's no in-between.
Yep.
There's no 6 out of 10 type players. You want the absolute wild card, someone that can create scores or play a pinch hit role for you, being a specialist. And it was I think he was a rookie blitzer, wasn't he? Initially, his first 18 months.
I think he was still... Wasn't he still going for the Olympics when they actually rooked him? I think that they just rooked him.
Maybe Wellesley
on
was
the
just,
chance.
Sure. Wellesley was just after some tickets.
Just wanted to go to Rio.
I don't know. I might be wrong on that. Just on Geelong, they've found Blixarves and, you know, potential elite player. Gregson, we know, has been very, very good. Darcy Lang has not got a lot of credit. He leads their assist by 6, and he's got a very, very good kick rating. Stanley's been good, and Thurlow's been very, very good. And we saw Murdoch have probably his best game last year. So there's 6 names with this team that, you know, probably can't win the flag. Mm. They're regenerating.
What can they do this year? What can they do? Where do you have them?
Are they 7, 8, around that.
7, 8. So you've got them in the 8.
So if you're 7, 8.
Oh, they could possibly still.
If you're 7, 8, you're also 10 to 12.
Their first
9 to 12 with the way things are going at the
first,
moment.
Their first 3 weeks were pretty ordinary. But since then, they've been reasonably good. Yep.
All right, we'll get to a quick break because I want to talk about the Kangas quickly after this. We need to just touch on the Kangas.
I have to clarify, not prepared to rebuild the West. Staying in the North exclusively at the moment. 1-300-foot trade.
Couple of minutes with the boys before 1 o'clock to talk about the Kangas on Pure Footy this hour for the new Mexican chicken sub from Subway Luffy. How are they tracking the Roos just at the minute? 4-4, even Stevens.
Yeah, even Stevens, but the percentage this time last year was 110. We're down to 90 at the moment. Did I just say we?
Yes, you did.
I mean.
I picked up on that.
Which is ranked 12th in the competition. Their biggest concern, Kingy, and they fixed it last year, was the defence. This year it's been very, very ordinary. Easiest team to score from a stoppage, 28%, and the 7th easiest to score against from a turnover. So they're negative 31 from stoppage on the scoreboard, and negative 26. So that is far from a top four team. We know they've had a very, very hard draw, but they're on the back foot now. And the Pies this week, I think this will be a fascinating game because we know they do turn the ball over deep, the Roos, and try and counter-attack that way. Last year in the game against Collingwood, which was around the same time, might have been a bit earlier in the season, Collingwood just stopped them. They couldn't get it out of their back line. So if Collingwood could get that press going that they had in the first 4 weeks, it could be a tough game for the Roos.
Some concerns there.
Certainties this week.
The Roos.
Certainties.
Righto.
Every time I've said certainty, I've got it wrong so far. So
get on the Pies.
Just a quick one, huh?
Yes.
Frio. Robbo asked about it the other day.
He did.
First quarter's plus 160 points on the scoreboard. Next best is plus 75. Whoa. In the first 20 minutes, plus 147, the next best, plus 62.
We did that 2 months ago, Luffy. Can you catch up with us, boys?
That's
just helping Robbo, eh?
It's great to have you boys on every Thursday. Thank you, gents.
See you, mate.